Louis Gagnon, thank you very much for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your invite.
Now, tell me about this region or this place called Kayaktalik in Inuktitut. What does it mean, first of all?
Oh, that means where there is a kayak. You know, the kayak is recognized as that kind of boat, you know, created by the Inuit or their ancestors. And in fact, that site, it's a rock art site that's named Kayaktalik. It's on an island near the coast of the Nunavik, but it's in Nunavut because it's an island, and that belongs to the Nunavut. But in terms of jurisdiction, but the ownership is the people from Nunavik, they own it. It's after a lot of negotiation they did that. So anyway, the people from Nunavik were the people who were using that island, you know, as far as we know.
Mm-hmm.
And on that island, there was a specific area where were found during the 60s, 1960s, around that, a group of rock art engraving, you know, called petroglyph, because it's carved in the stone.
Yeah. And for our listeners who have not seen the pictures, can you describe what is actually carved?
Yeah, in fact, it's quite unique. You know, in Kayaktalik, the petroglyph or every engraving represent human faces, only human faces. So it's like a simple drawing, the outline of a face, and you have the eyes, the nose, the nose, and the mouth. Sometimes open, sometimes just like a straight line, you know. So it's quite simple, but what is exciting is to see them also in different size. Some of them are very, you know, just like a couple of centimeters high, and others, most of them, they are more like in 20 to almost 30 centimeters, you know, of height.
Hmm. And there, this—I mean, if these are faces, human faces, they're different shapes. You have, you know, more rounded shapes. You have more square shapes, more triangular shapes, and some of them seem to have this, what looks like cat ears or horns. Do you know what these faces represent?
You know, we cannot be sure. There is a lot of speculation about that. But part of it is, yes, it sounds like a sort of a zoomorphism, you know, like something belonging, you know, to the to different type of animals. You are right to describe that, like ears of a cat, or I would say in connection with the north, maybe like the fox or dogs, or, you know, any kind of canidae, or it could be also like some sort of horn, but then the when you try to compare that with the animals living up north, it's much more difficult, you know. So it's probably why some people were talking about, oh, they are devil representation, you know. Maybe, but this is a modern interpretation that we can see.
Mm-hmm.
But most of those point that we see on the top of the heads, or could be also something quite special. The Dorset people that we believe that they made that. It's a civilization that disappeared, you know, about 1,000 years ago, and they were wearing their parka was completed by a sort of very high collar, not a hood, a collar, but very high, you know, almost reaching the top of the head of the person. So maybe it's just like a representation of those two points coming from the collar. which can make sense. We did some experiment about that, and it looks pretty much the same.
Interesting. So yeah. Tell me about how. What do we know about who, you said Dorset people. What do we know about the Dorset culture, and what do you know when these carvings were created?
Okay. In fact, it's always a hypothesis in archaeology based, you know, on material we are finding all around. Maybe you have to know that the Dorset people at the end of their presence in Nunavik and even in the rest of the north, that's happened about 1,000 years ago. And at that period, there was an effect of the climate change at that period too, you know, that become warmer than that they were used to. So probably that created a big stress on the population, and they started. That's an explanation, you know, for what we can see that it started to be a period of I would say an increase in the magical beliefs, you know. More shamans production or shamanic production. So it's an indication that maybe that site, which is quite unique with all those faces, could be a sort of an attempt, you know, to make some kind of ritual or something linked to the shamanism. And we have also to enforce, you know, that hypothesis, the fact that there was a lot of lichen on the surface of the rock that, understand that the engraving were old, at least like over 800 to 1,000 years. And then other things that can contribute to to link those engraving to the Dorset people is the Dorset people in different areas in Canada, they were making those little stick, you know, made of caribou antlers, bones, or even walrus tusk. They were engraving faces like that. But they were portable art, which is different than rock outside, which is something, you know, stiff there on the land, you know, on the ground. And maybe a last thing, you have to know that the Tulian people that came after, there was a gap, you know, for about 200 years in Nunavik. We'll say around 800 years ago, the Tulian people went there and they started to occupy the area, and they became what we know now as being the Inuit, the modern Inuit. So these people, as far as we can see in the archaeological evidences, they were not representing the faces. You find any kind of small figures, you know, small human representation, they have no faces. Yeah, so that can be part of the reason why we are believing they are from, you know, the Dorset people.
What was the relationship between the Inuit people and the Dorset, and how did the Inuit interpret this site over you know, the centuries of their existence there?
Oh boy, it would be, you know, it's some sort of a debate in archaeology about, you know, is the Tulian people or the ancestors of the Inuit now have been in contact with the Dorset people. Maybe some Dorset people were absorbed or they were chased, you know, from this environment. We don't know. You know, there is not enough information about that right now. So, and also, I'm not an archaeologist. I'm specialized in with art, you know, and but as far as I know, it's not that obvious that they were really linked. And also in terms of technology, we can see so many differences, you know, like just to give you an example, to make the tools, the Dorset people you know, they were like, oh, I don't know the technical word for that, but they were like chipping the pieces of stone, you know, mm-hmm. rather than polishing them. So that created a different type of, they were using different technology, okay? So different that it's a way for the archaeologist, you know, to say, okay, we are talking about another type of culture, you see? So, and your second question, which is kind of complex, because how the Inuit today look at the petroglyphs themselves, it's hard to give you, you know, just a straight answer about that. But I believe it's seen with a lot of respect, as far as I know, because, you know, I've been on the site with many Inuit, especially people coming from Kanyosuyuak, which is the it's a community north of the island. And because the people, you know, want to protect the site, so we have some indication that they really want to protect, so respect that place. On the other hand, maybe some people are not sure about, is it good to go there, you know, that belongs to some population from the past. I don't know. I heard so many different stories, you know. So I would say it's like they have to be more in touch with that to learn and understand better that cultural heritage.
Well, tell me, how does it compare? Are there other similar sites in the Arctic, other petroglyph sites that are that important for understanding the history of the first original inhabitants of this area?
But in fact, there are other sites in the Arctic, only a few of them, and it's totally on the opposite coast, you know, it's on the west coast in Alaska and along the water too. And but what is quite interesting, it's coming from different cultures. So it's like the human being, whatever is the culture, used or have been using that type of expression, you know, doing some representation on the rock. But when you compare with the West Coast, you cannot see any real comparable things, except that one of the sites has also some faces, but not only faces, which is so unique at the Qayaqtalik.
Mm. Yeah. Do you remember when was the first time you saw the site, and what did you feel?
Oh boy, yeah, very, very, very excited. Because when I thought about going to Qayaqtalik, this was one of the main challenges of my career, I would say. In fact, I developed that interest about studying rock art sites down in the province of Quebec, you know, down south. And my main goal was to go one day to Qayaqtalik. Because of my interest about the Inuit sculptures on stone, I was thinking, I should see that, you know. And is there any link? I should see that. And being there was like, okay, you know, I reached that, and now I can see how big it is, you know. And also, this was very impressive for me, because I realized there, we don't know anything about these people, you know. It's amazing, because as you were saying, they were engraved on, in fact, four big outcrop of soapstone, but you have faces everywhere. It's amazing to see that. So, no, this was a thrill and something, that was a privilege to be there, you know, and I still feel that, yeah.
Mm. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you very much to you too. Okay. And for your interest. Yeah.